I am joined on the line by Mr. Eston Aslao da Silva, the Prime Minister of Timor-Leste, Timor-Leste, East Timor, whichever words you prefer there. Good morning, Prime Minister.
Good morning.
Thank you for your time, and I would appreciate to be able to talk to you about the upcoming elections for the Prime Minister, which is set for the 30th of June.
Yes.
Will you be standing?
My party, Fretilin, is running for this parliamentary election. And then as soon as the result is published, the party will indicate who is going to lead the government.
So it's you yourself don't have to campaign for the position?
I'm campaigning. I'm in Baucau at the moment. Baucau is the second largest city in Timor-Leste. I'm on my way to Vijeke to do the campaign.
Well, I see that Shanana Gujmal, with a newly formed CNRT party, is also running for the position. I wonder, what is the basis of the new party that he is heading?
He thought that he thinks that Fretilin dominates the Timor-Leste political landscape. So he and then create a new party in order to balance Fretilin's what they call the so-called power. Fretilin's powerful political influence in Timor-Leste.
Okay, because they're also saying that personalities will play a huge role in who will be elected. Would you agree with that?
Not literally like that. Our people, they have learned a lot in the last 5 years. And then, of course, you cannot take it for granted. Shanana was the leader of the resistance. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he will win the by leading CNRT. It doesn't necessarily mean that he will win the election.
Okay. Well, José Ramachandra and the CNRT seem to have won the support of the Catholic Church by promising financial assistance from the state for church-based welfare and support for a Catholic education system. Fretilin in the past seems to have sought a more secular state system. Will Fretilin maintain this line, and how do you think the electoral support will go?
Currently, the government is supporting Catholic Church, educational schools, and then we are paying teachers that are teaching at the Catholic schools at the moment. It's around $2 million every year that we're paying for the teachers. And we have as we have said, we will work with every religious group, and particularly with the Catholic Church. And then we are committed as well to work out a budget assistance for schooling programs, because the education is the biggest investment, is the biggest commitment for Fretilin.
So you're not tying political parties to religion at all?
No, because we have to work in accordance with our constitution, not with a particular religion, but we will support all the activities that contribute to the economic development or the human development of Timor-Leste, like education. Of course, we will assist, as we've been assisting, we'll continue to assist church, Catholic Church, and any other church group.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are the basic policies for the Fretilin Party?
Fretilin Party, what we have been done in the last 5 years is to establish the institutions that are running and secure the state, and now from now on, because we have money due to the negotiation that we have carried out in the last 5 years on the oil and gas, now we have money that we can commit ourselves to do further development of infrastructure. We are going to do what we call an accelerated infrastructure development. It will create many jobs. And then as well, we will continue to invest in education, providing scholarships and health. Scholarship not only in Timor-Leste, but scholarships to Timorese that wants to carry out their study abroad. And then on the health system, we will improve the infrastructure in the health system, as well as equip the existing hospitals, main hospitals, Dili and Baucau, Maliana and Covalima. And then another two more, five hospitals, one in Waikusi, of course, equip them with some of the most updated equipment. So then they can deliver assistance. And then we will continue with our program of a health system in which the access to health is free, education as well is free at primary school, and secondary school. And then we will also work on the security in the areas of security. We will invest on the reconstruction of PNTL and as well and assist the FFTL in many areas so then they can fulfill their mission more effectively.
So health and education are very important platforms for the Fretland Party.
And then as well as rural development. Rural development, we have committed ourselves to invest a lot in rural development because of agriculture. Agriculture is still the base of the economy. But unfortunately, our agriculture is still predominant subsistence. That's what we've been working in the last 5 years, to train the people and then with an update knowledge and then to how to manage the new technology so then they can improve the agriculture production and then produce in a such a way that they can sell, not in the way that they're doing at the moment. Produce for commercial purpose, not for subsistence purpose. That's what we've been doing in the last 5 years, and now the investment that we are putting in place now is to assist the agriculture, to assist the farmers to produce for commercial purpose, and as well as other rural-based agriculture, establishment of other rural-based agriculture industries.
Thank you. I understand that Timor-Leste has received approximately $230 million from the oil and gas revenue. And recently, you actually endorsed a pre-election spending for the military for the Force 2020 report, a style of defense white paper. And in that, generals talk about increasing the army up to a level of 3,000, of having a naval base or to include in the Navy several missile-equipped Corvette-class warships. Do you still plan to go ahead with that idea?
We have said in many instances that the study, what we call Force 2020, it was based on the King College studies. And then the proposal is to increase the army up to 3,000, but over many years, it's until 2020. So it's not in one go. And in the same time, we are going to equip not a missile like the ones that they're using the Gulf War, not of that kind, but they have to be equipped. I'm not an army. I'm not a soldier. I'm not an army officer. But the naval component have to be equipped with the weapons that to enable them to fulfill their mission. Why we have to have the naval component? Because we have our staff force is currently being a field of illegal fishing. So we have to control it. That we have to have a small army naval component. With two oceanic patrol boats, not that the kind of warship that you have in Australia or warships you have in Australia, but something that enables our army to fulfill their mission in controlling our waters.
So the Navy itself, you're not considering it as a force to repel a possible Indonesian invasion?
No, not of that kind. We don't think the Indonesian will ever invade Timor-Leste again.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, our relationship with Indonesia is very good.
So things have developed with Indonesia?
Thank you, pardon?
Relations between Timor-Leste and Indonesia have improved?
Oh, yes, we have a very good relationship with Indonesia as well as with Australia. We are not armed ourselves to confront either Australia or Indonesia. We are very small, so this is not our aim. What we have is that this is a sovereign nation, so we have to equip ours minimally. We have to have a minimal equipment to protect our resources and as well as our resources, including the sea resources, particularly in the South Coast, where we have the constant illegal fishing, and we are losing millions and millions of dollars every year in the South Coast.
I understand. So back onto the campaign trail for the Prime Minister election, are there still many people in displaced persons' camps?
Oh yes, we still have a few of them, at least 30,000 people. Some of the displaced people, internally displaced people, they have gone back to their district, Some is still in Delhi. What we are doing at the moment is we are working to build houses, transitional shelters, and then rehabilitate the houses so then they can go back to their homes.
When you're out on the campaign trail, how are people responding to you as a government?
Oh, the response is doing very well. What they want to know is that why we didn't do more, and we explain to them that we didn't do more because we didn't have money and we didn't have the human resources, and now because we have never promised to do more anyway, now we say that now that we have money, we can promise, and we promise to improve the living condition of our people, including building houses, construction of houses for the most vulnerable people.
And the people, how are they now, given that you're several years into your independence? Is there more hope for the people?
Yeah, it's only 5 years. You cannot expect everything to be done in 5 years. And our people understand it. And then even though there are some attempts to emotionally explore our people's sentiments using some rhetoric, you cannot take our people for granted because they understand. They understand that when we receive the government, when we took over the government, we have practically nothing, no institutional memory, no institution established, and we have to do everything under a very, very difficult situation with practically no money, with a very, very limited human resources. Now we are better off, and our people understand we have institutions established. We have Timorese running the country, which is very important.
Okay. Could I just try and understand a little bit more? How would you sum up the key differences between Fretland's economic policies and that of the CNRT?
CNRT, the policy CNRT has presented is unsustainable, and they don't. Our policy, we forecast with implementation of our policy an economic growth of 7.7%. They don't have any such forecast. What they have been doing is they promised. They have done some promises that are not sustainable. They have promised. They promised to give a handout. We don't think that our people, after all those years of study, after all those years of resistance, they want to live on the base of handouts. Our people want development, and our policy is to development in Timor-Leste in every area, infrastructure development, human development, and then work towards a better society for the future of Timor.
And do you think it will be a rugged campaign trail? Is everybody up to it?
Yes. So far, we've been doing our campaign by explaining to our people our policy, and then the only party that is been accusing us is CNRT.
Okay. If I could close, please, Prime Minister. I was looking at your life story, and you spent quite a bit of time in Australia. And I'd like to go back to the mid-70s, when you came out from Portugal to the Northern Territory of Australia, and you were working in a covert radio operation with the Fretland leadership in East Timor, and you were also assisting those fleeing the violence out of East Timor. When you look at yourself from those days in that covert operation to now interim Prime Minister of Timor-Leste, how do you feel?
So it is an honor to be a Prime Minister. I'm not an interim Prime Minister. I'm the Prime Minister of the third constitutional government. But I have never expected to be a Prime Minister. I left Timor in 1973 to go to Portugal to study, and my dream was to come back to Timor and establish a mechanical workshop. But now I have to fulfill this position. And then I've done my best in the last 5 years as a Minister of Agriculture, and I will continue to do everything I can to support the country.
Prime Minister of Timor-Leste, thank you very much for speaking to NIM FM.
Thank you.
All the best for the elections and to the people of Timor-Leste.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
And as you just heard, that was the Prime Minister. He's very clear. He is not an interim Prime Minister. He is the Prime Minister of East Timor. So the people return to the ballot boxes on the 30th of June to elect the new party to go up. And, of course, from the parties, they then elect the Prime Minister. interesting times, because he really was in Australia in the early 70s on that covert operation. He and his friends were rounded up by the Northern Territory Police. He spent a day before the courts, and he left from there to go to Mozambique, and he started studying in agriculture. He returned back to Australia in 1985, and he studied at the New South Wales University and worked for the New South Wales government in Narrabri in agriculture. And here he is now, the Prime Minister of East Timor. I would like to mention Warwick Fry, who has worked tirelessly for NIM FM in order to land that interview. Congratulations going to Warwick Fry and to NIM FM and all the crew. You're listening to A Cross Between Black Coffee Radio, Free Press Media, with Amiga North and Mari South here sitting in for Amiga. It's 8 minutes to the hour of 11 o'clock. I'm so glad you got to hear the Prime Minister of Timor-Leste on NIM FM.
خبركم إنه اليوم على الطقس مثل العادي يعني بملبون خصوصا بأيام الصيف الحرارة 31 مش كتير شوب يعني قريب للفطيس شوي ونحن هون يعني عم نسيش بحرارة أقوى من برا يعني